We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Inside Michigan Football. Over the next hour, we're breaking down the latest in Wolverines football, including interviews with players, coaches, and alumni. Now, here's your host, John Jansen.
Welcome into Inside Michigan Football. On today's program, we'll be joined by head coach Jim Harbaugh. Also, running backs coach Jay Harbaugh stops by for a few segments, and then Michigan's Viper Michael Barrett will stop by. Michigan coming off a 27-17 loss to Penn State. We'll break down what happened and figure out how we fix everything and come away with a win this weekend against the Maryland Terrapins. We'll get to all of that here on Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. I'm joined by head coach Jim Harbaugh. And coach, I know that you guys had to hit the pause button earlier today. Could you describe to us what type of situation is presented to you and the football team right now of having to go virtual with presumptive positive tests?
Yeah, there was an increased number of presumptive positives today that are awaiting confirmation as to the protocol. And out of caution, out of an abundance of caution, we just decided to hold the meetings virtually that were scheduled to be in person. I think there's quite a few, including NFL teams, that are doing the same thing out of caution.
How concerned are you that with what we've seen in the NFL, what we've seen across college football with games canceled, others postponed, that we'll be able to resume the college football season, or are you anticipating that we might have to miss a few games?
It really just goes along with the culture that's been set here really since June. It's going to continue to be very proactive, John. I think the timing, just about after every holiday, there's been some issues, whether it was Labor Day or Halloween or Thanksgiving. It's the right thing to do today. I mean, and that's really just what you focus on today, you know, day to day, and await the confirmation for the results. It is the protocol, not even part of it. That is the protocol, and we'll continue to follow it.
I know there's been a lot of sacrifices made by you, made by your players, everybody in the athletic department, and holidays can highlight and enhance the sacrifices that you have to make. What type of guidance did you give your players and your coaching staff in regards to the Thanksgiving holiday and, you know, getting together with family and friends?
the same guidelines that the governor of our state had, and the following those protocols, and that as it specifically related to the guys, they were happy to go have the afternoon and the evening to rest and have some extra rest time. There was no travel or flying to different places, and within the same families, that kind of those protocols were followed.
For some of our listeners who maybe they don't understand what you guys go through on a daily basis, what is the protocol in place for testing for you and for the players?
Well, everybody that comes into Schembechler Hall is has a temperature taken when they come in the building, and then they immediately test. So all testing's done between the hours of 7 a.m. and about 10:30 a.m. And then that's a daily antigen test. As I said, it's every day. And then if there is a presumptive positive, then it awaits confirmation from a PCR test.
How long does it take to get those results back, the PCR test, to know whether it was a false positive or an actual positive test?
It takes the hours that it takes, 4 to 6 to 8 to 24 hours, mm-hmm. depending on, sometimes it's taken anywhere from about 6 to 36 hours, depending on what the labs and the volume is at the hospital.
I got to imagine it's frustrating. It's even frustrating for me. Like, I just asked you the same thing about the false positives and a negative, the terminology, the protocol. I know you guys are doing this so that you have an opportunity to play football, but how frustrating is it to have to do this on a daily basis?
I wouldn't term it as frustrating. There's challenges. Yeah. That's like everything. And we all don't complain. It's that's very much an attitude of gratitude to be able to test on a daily basis.
Let's just start with some broad strokes in regards to Saturday's game against Penn State. Offensively, I know Cade McNamara went down with an injury, was able to come back. How would you assess the performance of the offense in general?
I think the running game is improving, and very close to being really good. And there's plays made in the passing game. Offensively, not enough first downs made. And we struggled in some of the fourths, the short yardage situations, the third and fourth and two to 1-3 area that I think 4-for-9 or 4-for-10, somewhere in that area that didn't really allow the offense to keep moving and sustain drives.
And those third and fourths and shorts, is that scheme? Is it execution? Is it what Penn State was doing? Were you able to pinpoint what you need to improve on to be successful in those situations?
That's what we're doing. We've, it's a combination of things. And the first thing you start with is the coaching, is the scheme that you had and, how it was taught and always striving to put your players in the position that they can be most successful, at doing. So there was, and that's really the thought that goes into it.
Staying with the offense, Cade McNamara got his first start. How would you assess his performance, and will he be your quarterback moving forward?
That's that day to day. We'll see, what the status is for, for all our players. It's still early in the week, and you know, we'll assess that as we go.
We'll get a chance to talk defense in just a moment. Maybe some special teams as well with Coach Harbaugh. We'll be back. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield, IMG College.
Hey, real quick, we know you're listening to this show because you love your college football team.
Or you just can't quit your college football team. But either way, I'm pretty sure on some level, you're into college football as a whole.
Yeah, that sounds right. So if you're way into all things college football, you gotta listen to the Solid Verbal College Football Podcast.
Strongly agree. We've got preview podcasts, recap podcasts. We do a weekly space-themed big picture college football podcast because, I don't know, we like space and we like college football.
Exactly. And that's because we don't just love college football on the Solid Verbal College Football Podcast. We live it.
Correct. Search for the Solid Verbal wherever you listen to any of your podcasts or head to solidverbal.com to make it easy and find all the info you need to subscribe to the show absolutely free.
Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. This segment with Coach Harbaugh is brought to you by Chocolate Milk and approved by the Michigan Dairy Market Program Committee. Coach, defensively, let's start broad strokes. How would you assess the performance of your defense against Penn State on Saturday?
Well, we gave up a lot of rushing yards, about 146 yards of that total in about six plays. Or we lost leverage, on the back or quarterback draw. So that was a big part, and their ability to convert on the third and shorts as well. Allowed them to sustain drives. The coverage end was much improved. The play by Jamon Green, Vincent Gray, Dax Hill, and there's some real quality coverage plays that they made, and continuing. It's good to see that that progress made there, and shore up in other areas.
A lot of young guys are getting reps, and you mentioned Jamon Green. He's playing a lot better and having some success. But up front, when you talk about stopping the run, a lot of times when I watch young teams and teams that are trying to make something happen, it's not that the players don't want to make it happen. Sometimes it's that they're pushing too hard or they're maybe breaking their responsibility because they want to make something happen. Are you seeing some of that on film, that some of these young guys are just they're trying so hard that maybe they're getting out of position because they're trying to force a play to happen?
Yeah, that's a possibility. That's a learning process. And I think they're learning and we're coaching it. And that's possible. That showed up on a couple of the plays, sure.
This weekend, obviously, if it happens, you guys are playing Maryland. They're coming to town. How important will it be to get a win at home?
Very important. I mean, that's our goal. I mean, that's where there's so much work is put in, and emotional investment, physical investment, put in for that goal to win the football game. And so that's where our focus is.
I know there's still a lot of analysis to be done in regards to preparing and putting in a game plan. Mike Locksley in his second year, what have you seen from that program from year one to year two that you're seeing on film right now?
I think they're an ascending team. There's no doubt about it. And they're playing good football. Very well coached team, good athletes. They're playing more and more confident as they go.
Just to talk about special teams for a minute, Brad Robbins, number one in the Big Ten. Just how have you seen him perform this year?
Really with consistency and precision. He's a senior now, gosh, hard to believe. But, his daily and weekly mindset and precision has been outstanding. he's executing with a lot of confidence.
If you don't mind, I don't know what you'll be able to tell me, but in regards to some of the injuries, Giles Jackson was a game time scratch, and we know what he did last week in regards to the kick return for a touchdown. He wasn't able to go. Mike Sammer still went in there and had the fumble. How big of a hit was it not to have Giles Jackson on special teams and also on offense?
Yeah, Giles is working through something, and we'll see what he's available for this week or not. But you know, Giles is a heck of a good player. So is Mike. And hopefully Giles will be back. We'll see.
We heard from Ed last week that Ryan Hayes and Jalen Mayfield were able to be out of practice on a limited basis. Do you anticipate one or both might be available this week?
I don't know. I just don't know. I can't even put a gauge on it or level of anticipation. Just they're working through something, and they're going through the process of that and continue to do that.
And I know you again. You had another young guy get in there on the offensive line. It's had to be shuffled around due to injury. Zach Zinter started the game but had to leave because of an injury. Trevor Keegan got his most his biggest opportunity. How would you assess his performance?
Yeah, I thought growing. He was willing and did some good things and also some things to coach on going forward. And you know, I thought Chuck Filiaga moved from left guard to right guard as well in that move. Mm-hmm. So I thought he handled that pretty well as well. So there's quite a few players that especially in the offensive line who've acquitted themselves well and are getting the quality game reps.
Before we let you go, Coach, nobody thought right now we'd be 2-4. It's not a position that the players are familiar with, that you're familiar with. Where is everybody in terms of their motivation, their drive, their fire? Everybody's still pulling in the same direction?
Yeah, John. I think they're doing a really good job of really focusing on having a great daily work ethic and a positive attitude and back attacking it today. So those are the things that you ask as a coach.
Coach, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, John.
This segment has been brought to you by Chocolate Milk and approved by the Michigan Dairy Market Program Committee. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield IMG College. Now joined here on Inside Michigan Football by Jay Harbaugh, running backs coach as well as special team coordinator. We're going to touch on both of those areas. But, Jay, thanks for joining us. And I know that Thanksgiving is always unusual for coach, for player. And one of the traditions is we always have to practice on Thanksgiving. Sometimes you actually play on Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving and anything unique this year?
It was a great day. I mean, just being able to come together with your fellow coaches and all the your teammates and stuff, and be able to practice and meet, have that together, always nice. We just did everything a little bit earlier in the morning, so guys will be able to have the day to themselves. Some people got to see family, get off their feet a little bit and watch some football. So overall, a good day, not too out of the ordinary actually, compared to other years for us.
Big meal at the Harbaugh house?
Oh yeah, we always do it right, it's a nice time to be able to I think like everybody else, just to come together and have a moment to catch your breath from the day to day, whatever you got going on in life, and be able to appreciate being together and be around the people that you love.
Before we start talking about football, I really need to know, other than the turkey itself, what is the one thing that you've got to see on your Thanksgiving plate? What's your favorite side?
That's tough. That's a tough one. I would say, She's my wife is from Puerto Rico, so we do it. We have a little bit different menu items when we do a Puerto Rican style Thanksgiving. With some rice with bacon is pretty phenomenal. We did a dish, a side called pastelón de yuca, which is pretty tasty as well. It's like a kind of a root vegetable with cheese. You know, so it's a little bit different stuff than is probably commonplace. But I don't know if I could pick a favorite. Everything's is pretty good. You do it right, have a nice big meal, and then take a little nap, and then have some seconds later on. So it's a I can't play favorites with something like that, I don't think.
Yeah, well, my theory holds true. If you put cheese on vegetables, you can eat about any vegetable.
That's right. That's the key to a balanced diet, getting your vegetable intake right.
It is.
On there and you'll be set.
Yeah. So let's talk a little football now. You're obviously the running backs coach. We'll start there. Hassan Haskins, back-to-back games, over 100 yards. What have you seen from him?
Really, he's playing at a high level, and he's really playing, you know, what you would see on TV is you know, is the truth. He's running hard. He's a beast. He's really hard to tackle. He can make yards when there's very few yards there to be had. He has a knack for falling forward, getting behind his pads and getting through really, really tight spaces, and creating movement. And, you know, we've had a couple games, you know, where there's a lot of tough yards, instances where, you know, there aren't really massive holes, and, you know, he's able to turn some of those into really positive plays. So he just runs with tremendous physicality, a real aggressiveness that I think is maybe not super common at the running back position. And you know, it's been fun watching him get in the groove and start creating some more explosive plays, which is kind of a difference for him from this year to last year, which is great to see.
You mentioned something in that description that he runs behind his pads. And I mentioned that last week after the game he had against Rutgers. Is that something that you can coach up, or is that just something a running back does naturally?
Probably a little bit of both. I think, you know, I think the bulk of it would be it's a natural kind of genetic type thing. Not necessarily of, you know, how you play the game, but, you know, if your body type, if you're a knee bender, if you have, you know, flexibility in your ankles, you're going to be a lot more inclined to be able to bend your knees and level off your pads and deliver a blow. And Hassan, compared to most backs, you know, he's extremely flexible, does a great job getting low and having great ankle flexion and knee bend. You know, when you watch guys who appear to run a bit higher, it's normally a function of their body just being a little bit tighter. And it can be pretty tough from a technique standpoint to get a guy who's stiff in the hips or stiff in the ankles to be able to consistently run low. So I think it's probably a little bit of both. You can make improvements, but the bulk of it is I think, you know, a guy's body type.
Is that, we've all seen high school film. Some of it's really good to look at, and a lot of it is not. How do you assess something like that in terms of a guy's body type and how he runs when you're evaluating recruits?
That's an interesting question. One thing I know is when you watch a guy in high school, you better love the way that they run the ball, because the guy's going to change a ton. Mm-hmm. And I personally think it's kind of true. A lot of different positions, you know, you better like what you see, because you're going to get, you know, something similar that you're just hoping to amplify it. So if a guy runs high, he's probably going to keep running high. If a guy runs low and can deliver a blow, then, you know, with strength training and speed training, that's going to be amplified. It's going to get, you know, lower and more violent. And, you know, I think the same thing probably holds true for, you know, linemen, O-line, D-line, all kinds of positions. You shouldn't recruit a guy with the hopes of drastically changing them. Probably the same way, you know, you wouldn't, you know, get into a relationship with somebody hoping to drastically change them. You know, the core of kind of who you are is going to be pretty much, I think, set when a guy's 17, 18 years old. So you look for a guy that does run low and can deliver a blow and get behind his pads in high school. When you find that, now you know you're going to be able to take it and make it better. I think you can get that from the tape as well as, you know, some of the in-person type of stuff. When you watch a guy work out or watch him lift, watch him at a camp, it gives you a little bit of sense of that as well.
Blake Corm is a guy that we've heard and some of us has seen him and the way that he attacks the game, the way that he, you know, he watches film, the way he studies, but the way that he works out. How have you seen him in his first season develop? And is he a different back going into game seven than he was going into week one?
Yeah, he is. He's a tremendous kid, tremendous worker. He's a guy who's going to be a spectacular player. Like most young guys, you know, there's certain things that you have to get used to. The game is the same game, but you know, there's a little bit more to it in a playbook sense, and you know, just getting the hang of all the adjustments and all the calls and all that. And you know, credit to him because it's really hard to play as a freshman. I mean, it's a really really tough thing to play in any sort of sustained capacity as a freshman, and we got a bunch of guys that are doing it. So he's earned the opportunity to be out there. And I think every week that goes by, he gets more and more comfortable with, you know, our scheme, confident with his adjustments. And he's just going to keep getting better and better. And it's, you know, it's really just a credit to him in the way that he approaches things. You know, this guy's the limit for him as a young man.
Well, we're currently talking about freshman Blake Corum, young guy Hassan Haskins. I'm going to flip the switch when we come back, and we're going to talk because we have Senior Day coming up. One of the seniors in that running back room as well as on special teams. We'll talk to Coach Harbaugh, Jay Harbaugh, that is, when we come back. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, and running backs coach, special teams coordinator Jay Harbaugh has been kind enough to spend a couple of segments with us. And Jay, we talked about Hassan Haskins, and I know Zach Charbonnet is part of that room as well, but he didn't play last week. So I want to, and we talked about Blake Corum, but I want to go to Chris Evans, who is a senior. We've got Senior Day coming up, and he's had some highs, and he's definitely had some lows. When you watch how he has battled through everything throughout his collegiate career, you know, what does it mean when a guy, for you as a coach, when a guy gets to Senior Day to see him be able to go out there and be successful?
I think you really want him to be able to have a senior day and a season that, you know, he's going to look back and be proud of, the kind of year that, you know, you look forward to as a freshman and a sophomore, and you know, everyone has a vision of how that year is going to go and everything. And you know, for Chris, this certainly isn't how he envisioned his senior year going, you know, in several ways, like most of our team. So the thing that's pretty cool about him is his mindset. You know, if you just came in and observed him in a meeting or lifting or practicing today, for instance, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between now and 6 months ago or, you know, 2 years ago, which I think is pretty cool based on the things that he's overcome and how our season has gone. He approaches things with great enthusiasm. He's willing to do anything to help the team. He's constantly, you know, imparting wisdom on the young guys. He's willing to you know, get on the scout team and give the defense a look. So, you know, you just look at all that together, the thing that you come away with feeling is this guy is really a team player. He is really into Michigan winning, and he cares more about that than he does about his individual success, which is pretty cool, and it's a fairly rare thing at the running back position.
And I've had a chance to talk to Hassan the last couple of weeks, and really all of the running backs over the past, you know, 6 months. in that room, you've got a lot of talent. And a lot of the conversation has been, are you trying to find a lead back? How do you divvy up the reps? Do you ever sit back and, you know, as the projector's going, well, that's not the projector anymore, as film is being played, and listen to these guys talk to each other? And what are those conversations like?
Conversations between the players while we watch film, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Just like, how do they, I mean, you know that they all want the ball. They all want to be the guy that's out there carrying it. But mm-hmm. when I talk to Hassan, he talks about, you know, helping Blake as a young guy and Chris, kind of the same thing. What are you hearing between those guys as they're watching film to help each other and continue to develop the camaraderie in that room?
Yeah, very interesting thing to talk about, because I think it's probably, you know, people probably have a misconception about what that dynamic is like from a personality standpoint. And, you know, of, like you said, guys that want the ball and really have supreme self-confidence. Those guys have done an unbelievable job of balancing those two things out. The confidence they have in themselves and the desire to be the guy and to, you know, to have the opportunity to impact games and change some of these outcomes. They've balanced that with this mentality of, I just want to win. I just want the team to win, and I want the offense to play well. And, you know, when you watch them, it's exactly kind of what you described. They help each other out. They challenge each other. They look for ways to improve each other's game. It's a really special harmony between those two things where, you know, they're able to compete their butts off and make each other better. But at the same time, no one's undercutting each other. Nobody is complaining or finger pointing. And, you know, like I've alluded to, the year hasn't gone the way that we wanted it to. And it's a testament to those guys' character as young men, how they've handled this and how they continue to handle it. It's been awesome to see. And they deserve recognition for that, because I think that, you know, outside of our building, I think a lot of people, you know, they expect it to be different, or they want it to be. They want to, you know, create, oh, this guy should be doing this, or that guy should be doing this. And, you know, that noise is out there, and they've really insulated themselves from it, and are just focused on all of them getting as good as they can be and doing whatever they can to help the team win.
And before we let you go, I promised we would talk a little special teams. You've got another senior, Brad Robbins, who right now is number one in the Big Ten in punting.
That's awesome. I did not even know that. We try to not look at any stats for fear of jinxing it. But Brad's been doing awesome. He's just great attitude, great mentality as a punter, and he's done a spectacular job, giving us great punts, great location, and really an unusual number of balls that we've punted into the wind. That's something that kind of gets lost on TV, but we've for whatever reason, we've ended up punting into the wind at like, you know, three quarters of the time in a couple of our windy games. And he's still managed to give us great location on balls. And the gunners, primarily Jake McCurry, Nate Shanley, Blake Corum, those three guys have taken almost all the reps, but they've been phenomenal getting down the field and forcing fair catches. That was quite a big accomplishment against Rutgers with the returner, number two, Cruikshank, who's a dynamic and explosive, last week taking Jahan Dotson out of the game as a punt returner, you know, doing a great job with the ball location and the coverage. Those are two really, you know, big factors in the kicking game, and those guys deserve recognition for it.
Well, you can thank Dave Abloff for that stat. He's the one that gave it to me. So, but Jay, I really appreciate your time, and look forward to seeing you guys on Saturday.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me. Take care, John.
You too. We will be back in just a moment with Michigan's Viper. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. I am now joined by the Viper, and that's Michael Barrett of Michigan's defense. First of all, Mike, how do you like being called a Viper?
It's nice. It's like a unique name, and it sounds good.
When people ask you, like, what position do you play, do you tell them linebacker, or do you go with the Viper name?
I instantly shoot the Viper out there, and every time they ask, they're like, they get a confused look on their face, and I kind of have to explain it every time.
When you're talking to them and you talk about it's that hybrid, you know, linebacker safety sort of position, what's the most challenging part of being a Viper in Don Brown's defense?
Just being in the inside the box, especially like just playing the linebacker, because I'm not as big as a linebacker, but I'm not as small as a safety. Mm-hmm. So just kind of being in the gaps. But I mean, I wouldn't say that's a difficult part, but
it's just different.
I would just say that's the most difficult. Yeah. Different.
When they came to you and said, "Hey, we want to play you at linebacker. We want to, you know, to try and fit you into this Viper position." Obviously, right. You know, you've got to train. Everybody trains for their position in a different way. How did right. you prepare for whether it was putting on weight or gaining strength because you knew you'd be playing linebacker, yet you didn't want to lose speed because you're going to be playing, you know, in coverage?
Right.
How did you train to prepare for this position?
I kind of just kept doing what I was doing. Like when I came in, I was, you know, I came in as a quarterback from high school. So I had already had some experience on defense. So I already knew I had kind of the athletic ability, and I knew I could kind of, like, my skill set could fit it. So I just kind of just kept working out, kept, you know, running, conditioning, and just, you know, I really didn't know what to expect. So I just kind of just kept doing everything what I was doing, just trying to, you know, stay versatile.
Seeing the game as a quarterback, as you mentioned, you were recruited as a quarterback, you came in as a quarterback, and you moved to defense. Has that helped in that defensive back, that coverage position or the coverage responsibility you have in defense? Has that perspective helped you make this transition?
It does. Like I kind of say it all the time. Like when I'm out there, I kind of you know, look at it from an offensive standpoint a lot of times, and it definitely helps. Like just reading offenses or reading just tendencies and stuff like that. So yeah, it helps. It definitely helped the transition.
Obviously, this year you're in that starting role. You start off in week one. You get the big sack against Minnesota. If you could look back over the last six games and give yourself a grade or evaluate what you've done, I don't know if you want to put a grade on it or not, but if you could evaluate your six games as a starter, how has Michael Barrett done?
He's done pretty good for a quarterback, but you know, I've left a lot of plays on the field, and you know, I can always improve. So it's always room for improvement.
When you say good for a quarterback, like that's one of the things too, I think is unique, is at a quarterback position, right? The whole goal is not to get hit. At the
right.
Viper position, the whole goal is to arrive with violence.
Complete opposite, yeah.
Right.
The complete opposite. So,
was that something that you enjoyed in the position switch? Like, I'm going to get a chance to actually deliver the blow?
Yeah, I mean, like, because, like I said, I played a little linebacker back in high school, my 10th grade year. So, like, I kind of knew the feeling of, you know, making plays, making tackles. And, you know, after playing quarterback for so long, it finally felt good to, you know, be able to lay the blows on other people. So
as I mentioned, the record right now is 2-4, not where you guys thought you would be six games into this season. What do you think have been the challenges for this defense?
Injuries, just trying to stay healthy. We had a lot of people go down this year, a lot of starters, and just kind of getting our young guys kind of ready to to make that transition to play. A lot of guys who don't have that experience, who hadn't had that experience, that field experience, just getting that time out there, getting them prepared and ready. Yeah, I feel like that, just working with those injuries, trying to work around those, is kind of the most difficult part right now.
as a guy that's been a consistent starter this year, I mean, you lose Cam McGrone, you lose two of your defensive ends. You know, obviously Ambry Thomas opts out. There have been a number of changes before the season, during the season. How do you help those guys that are stepping into those roles? You're going to be playing next to Adam Shibley. I know Hunter Reynolds is behind you. He's had to step in at times. How do you help those guys get involved, stay involved during the week to make sure whenever somebody has to make that jump into a more of a prominent role, a playing role, that they're ready to do that?
Like we always tell those guys, you know, just to be ready, just always stay ready. You never know. Especially with this year, with this crazy year, you never know what happens next. So always just be prepared to go out there whenever your name's called, whenever your number's called, to just go out there and execute, go out there and, you know, don't be a drop off, to go out there and be able to do your job. Make sure you're up to, you know what you're doing whenever you get out there and be able to make plays.
We're talking to Michael Barrett, who is the Viper of this Michigan defense this year. And Mike, before we let you go, I know that there's been a lot of challenges this year. We already outlined some of the injuries. We all know what's going on with the pandemic and the sacrifices that you guys have had to make. When this is all done, and the, you know, who knows when the pandemic's going to be over, but when you're able to go outside, no mask, restaurants are open, campus is open, whatever it is, what's the one thing that you've thought of that you're like, I want to do this as soon as all this madness ends? This is what I want to do.
Honestly, like, haven't thought of, the only thing I've thought about that I'm ready for this to be over with is to play with fans, is to have the big house full again. That's kind of what's been in my mind lately, so.
It is. It's off. It's eerie. It's weird. It's unique, obviously, to be in the stadium playing games. When you look in the stands during the games and you don't see anybody there, originally there was family and friends. And then this past weekend, there wasn't anybody. What's it like on the field?
I mean, at times it's difficult just having it, you know, quiet in the big house. But, you know, we try to keep everybody motivated, keep everybody hyped on the sidelines. We kind of, you know, it's like a self drive and like a team drive. So we all try to hype each other up and have the music over there. But it's different. It's definitely a difference.
Do they ask you guys like, hey, what type of music would you want to hear? You got any selections? Do you guys make any suggestions like that?
I'm not sure who makes the selections, honestly. But, I'm not sure who's over there.
And you got one more game in the big house. We don't know the championship weekend could be home, could be away. We don't know what they're going to do with that. But on the schedule right now, you know you guys have one more home game. How important will it be to go in against Maryland and get a win?
Yeah, it's definitely important, especially, you know, we don't want to go and finish the season, you know, winless at home. Definitely got to defend our home turf. So it's definitely important to go out and, you know, get this win.
Michael, I appreciate your time and best of luck as you guys prepare for the Maryland Terrapins.
All right, I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to Inside Michigan Football. If you missed any of tonight's show, visit our podcast channel, MGO Blue Podcasts with John Jensen. MGO Blue Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.